This is News Talk.
Well, I suppose we'll get it out of the way first, should we? It is, of course, Euro 2020, and it's all over the front pages this morning. And actually both Irish and UK newspapers, it's fair to say. So the front page of the Irish Daily Star, "It's coming Rome," is their headline. The Irish Daily Mirror, "It's going Rome." So working off the same pun there, all about the big win on penalties and the dramatic final at Wembley. Then going across the water to the Daily Express, "Agony for England's heroes after losing in nerve-shredding penalty shootout to Italy." And their headline is, "It hurts, but we are so proud of you. Despair, but our time will come." Very striking photograph, which takes up the entire front page of the broadsheet Daily Telegraph this morning, which is of Gareth Southgate consoling Saka after penalties last night. And the headline, very, very simple. The only words on the page are, "The ultimate agony, penalties, heartbreak again." That same photograph is used on the front of the Times of London. It says, "Penalty curse denies England their dream. Southgate's team lose Euro final to Italy after missing three penalties in the shootout." And again, Gareth Southgate consoling Saka. 19 years of age. Can you imagine the pressure of having to try and score in the penalty shootout there at 19 years of age, with the entire, your whole country, first of all, watching, but the entire continent also watching as well, and it wasn't to be for them. And The Guardian has the same photograph, and its headline is, "So close, after capturing the nation's imagination, Southgate's England lose Euros on penalties." A lot of talk about that in the papers this morning. Funnily enough, not so much talk in the British papers about the effective riots that went on before the game last night. That doesn't get as much coverage, but certainly on social media it does, and very, very concerning what emerged just before the game. And you would wonder now about the bid for any further tournaments, because if that's the crack that's going to be going on, well, if you're a governing body, would you really allow matches to be held? Although, as people would say, money talks, and it's all about money when it comes to big soccer tournaments as well. Now, moving on to something completely different, and Micheál Martin had a tough old time in the Sunday papers yesterday, and it's a bit better news. It didn't make for great reading yesterday for the Taoiseach, bit better news for him today, because it seems like when you read some of the papers this morning, any chances of a revolt against him appear to be ebbing away. So the Irish Independent, "Fianna Fáil rebels not ready to pull the trigger on Heave to oust Martin." So the front runners to replace Micheál Martin, the Independent says, are not ready to pull the trigger on a leadership race. That's despite the disastrous by-election result and growing dissent within the party. So the Irish Independent has been getting the views of some Fianna Fáil TDs, and some of those who are disgruntled are apparently waiting for a leadership candidate to come forward before they sign a motion of no confidence in the Taoiseach. So apparently there's a letter floating around, a no confidence motion letter floating around about Micheál Martin, but they're waiting for someone big, a big name within the party, to come forward and challenge him. And then it would seem they would trigger this letter and see who would sign it. The Irish Independent has learned that at least three TDs are willing to sign the motion as things stand. But if a candidate comes forward, eight more are willing to sign the letter at that stage. So that's what the Irish Independent says about the future of the Taoiseach. The Irish Daily Mail, "Heave against Martin halted. Plans for a leadership coup in Fianna Fáil have halted after the Taoiseach's would-be challenger Jim O'Callaghan beat a retreat. Senior ministers also issued statements of support for Micheál Martin despite their disastrous result in the by-election." The danger here is for the party, and indeed for Micheál Martin, is that we're coming into a quiet news period over the summer, obviously, and typically what tends to happen is that the media will focus in on one issue. So unless Fianna Fáil get their house in order, there's going to be an awful lot of focus and coverage of Fianna Fáil over the next few weeks, and you might hear more and more voices emerge who haven't been as critical of Micheál Martin in the past, but could be in the future. Anyway, more on that on News Talk Breakfast this morning. Also, the Irish Examiner goes with that. Martin secure for now as party leader. I suppose the operative words there being for now. Taoiseach Micheál Martin's position as leader of his party appears secure for now, despite moves afoot by a small number of his own TDs to oust him. The Irish Examiner also doing a ring around of Fianna Fáil TDs. They can confirm a draft motion of no confidence is in circulation. It's unlikely, though, that those seeking his removal will achieve the 10 names required to achieve such a motion. A canvass of 18 members of the party at the weekend revealed that while the majority are unhappy with his leadership, just four were willing to say they would support a motion of no confidence in Micheál Martin. On to other news, and let's not forget that we do have this virus, of course, circulating around. That's on the front of the Irish Times this morning, and quite interesting, the HSE is going to be questioning staff about their vaccine status, and it'll be interesting to see what civil liberties groups think about this, your employer asking you for your vaccine status. But frontline health staff will have to indicate their COVID-19 vaccine status if asked by their employer. This is going to be a directive sent out shortly by the HSE, and essentially the Data Protection Commissioner has ruled that vaccination may be considered a necessary safety measure in certain situations. So not all jobs could you be asked, do you have the vaccine or not? But if it's seen as essential in frontline healthcare, well, you could be asked to give your vaccine status. And as the Irish Times says this morning, if you haven't been vaccinated, you could be asked to step away from frontline duties and work somewhere else within the health service. That's on the front of the Irish Times this morning. Real tragic story on the front of the Irish Sun. It's in a number of the papers as well. And this is this poor woman, a bride-to-be, killed in a hit and run, a horrific hit and run yesterday. Mother of one, Laura Connolly, 34 years of age. She's pictured in a number of the papers, her whole life in front of her and preparing for her wedding, but she was knocked down at around 2:45 a.m. while walking home from a night out in County Donegal. And her uncle Andy said, "This is a traumatic experience for everybody in our family." A man in his 40s was last night being questioned by Gardaí. On to the big plans that are going to be announced later today. It's all happening in Louth, by the way. This is the Pathways to Work announcement. It's going to happen in Dundalk later, but the papers have got some leaks about what will be announced, and the Irish Examiner says that people who are on the dole are to be offered €1,000 to start a training course under this major new plan. And the Pathways to Work scheme will target reducing youth unemployment from 44%, which it is at the moment, a very high rate, to 12.5% by 2023. And the reason they're doing this really is that obviously if you start off at a young age unemployed, the worry would be that you end up in long-term unemployment. So I suppose they're trying to break that link, break that chain, and get them into training and hopefully get them into work. There's also a separate commitment to get 75,000 long-term unemployed back to work over the next 2 years. And the Irish Examiner understands that the plan will commit to giving those seeking to engage in short-term training courses €1,000 towards the cost of their tuition. I suppose it wouldn't want to be much more than €1,000, because then affordability comes into play, but we'll see what is announced later by the government up in Dundalk. Now, the Irish Times looks at gambling this morning. Brian Hutton has a big piece on gambling, and this all comes as, of course, President Michael D. Higgins has been very, very strong in his criticism of gambling and calling for greater regulation of online gambling. But the Irish Times has been looking at basically gambling and how it's changed during the pandemic, and Irish gamblers lost €1.3 billion last year. So if you divide that out, that's a loss of about €300 for every adult in this country, and it makes Ireland the fourth biggest gamblers in the European Union. And there's a shift in the way people are gambling, obviously because betting shops had been closed at some stage during the pandemic. So we've moved away from gambling in betting shops and track betting, and nearly half of all betting was done online last year. More than 44% of online bets are made from a smartphone or a tablet. So they're not sitting in front of their PC placing a bet, it's in your hand. And any gambling expert will tell you, gambling addiction expert will tell you, that that's a big, big problem, because there's no switch off. And you can gamble 24/7 at events right around the world, and this is obviously of concerns. There's a big report in the Irish Times about it. I should have said Michael D. Higgins was critical of gambling last month, and then again on Saturday he said, "I welcome the fact that the debate on sports gambling advertising has now been taken up in the public discourse there, and he has spoken of the scourge of sports gambling and the dangerous gambling advertisements which continue to cause so much damage to families and individuals," he said. So that's certainly getting people talking. Just back to travel very briefly. A final story for you comes from the Irish Daily Mirror, and John Kearns is in Costa del Sol, lucky him, and he's saying that the Spanish are praying for an Irish invasion next week to help save their tourist season. Obviously, Irish people can fly from next week with a digital COVID cert and without a PCR test, and he's been getting the views of people on Costa del Sol, and they're really looking forward to British and Irish tourists coming. But just, he said, sets out what things are like on the Costa del Sol if you are going. Six people can sit at a table indoors, eight can sit outdoors. Bars and restaurants have to close an hour earlier at 1 a.m. Now, we were in a pub, outside a pub I should say, on Friday night here, and we were kicked out at 10:30 on Friday night. But in Spain there, it is 1 a.m. and they can't have any new customers in after midnight. Discos have to close at 2 a.m. but they can only have 75% capacity indoors, and drinks can be served at the bar, and buffet services are allowed provided customers are kept 1.5 metres apart. So there we go. Something to consider if you're thinking of the Costa del Sol.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.